Not too awfully long ago, I preached a sermon on a benediction, particularly the benediction in Hebrews. And for those of you who don't remember, the benediction is what we do to conclude our services, where Pastor Larson or I, at the end of our service, we'll kind of raise up our hands and we will read a blessing, a prayer of blessing from scriptures for the church, right? Last time I did it on the Hebrews benediction, which is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, where I put up my hand and I said, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again the dead from our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." And then we conclude our service. Another example, and the one that we're going to go through today, so if you want to turn your Bibles there, will be in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. 25 and 26, where it's, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this morning, for this time together, Lord. Please help us as we look into your word and this wonderful passage. Please help us to understand it. Please help me as I preach and just guide our service, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before we really get into these verses, I got to find my water. I'm already dry. I want to dig in a little bit deeper and discuss what exactly a benediction is. As it is something that should be taken seriously. It's something that we should pay attention to as we do it at the end of our services. If you recall, the last time I talked about this, I jokingly talked about how Pastor George will often grade my hand placement. It's either too high, too low. Sometimes my fingers are apart, you know. Sometimes they're together. He grades me on my hand placement. Which is funny, but that did get me thinking. When Pastor George and I were talking about that, it got me thinking, and it led to me ultimately doing more research and preaching that sermon on the Hebrews benediction. And then since then, I've actually come across, just in my reading, some more information, a lot more information on benedictions, actually. And it led to me doing more research. And Pastor George was actually on to more than I initially realized. And I'm sure he already knew this, but even the raising of the hand part of the benediction that we do is actually biblical. It's actually biblically based. It's not just something that we do out of tradition, but we actually see it being done throughout the scriptures. Just a couple examples would be, we see Aaron do it when blessing the people in Leviticus chapter 22, or chapter 9, verse 22, where it says, "Then Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them, and he came down from offering the sin offerings and the burnt offerings and the peace offerings." And then we see it again with Jesus in Luke chapter 24, verse 50, where it says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them." And there are more examples than that, but regardless, it never occurred to me in all my research and all my time doing it that even that aspect of the benediction is biblically based. And then we look at the importance of blessings throughout the scriptures. We see just the importance of them. Even going all the way back to Genesis, spoiler alert, we haven't gotten here yet, but we see in Genesis chapter 27 the importance of blessings when Isaac literally steals his brother Esau's blessing from their father. And we see in Genesis 49 when Jacob blesses his sons at the end of his life, and he basically blesses them and tells them kind of what their future is going to be and what their offspring's futures are going to be. And there are plenty other examples throughout the scriptures of just the importance of blessings. So it's prudent for us as we conclude our services to pay attention to these things, to pay attention to what is prayerfully being read over us. Blessings are important. And we are concluding our services. We are literally ending our services, leaving our church family, and going out into a hostile world, a world that doesn't like the Word of God, a world that wants Christians to fail. That's what we're going out to. We're going out from our church family to that. So pay attention as these benedictions are read over us. And if you are faithfully serving the Lord throughout the week, if you are doing whatever you're called to do, sharing the gospel whenever you're given the opportunity to, you will quickly realize that you do need the Lord's help in all of it. You need the Lord's blessing. And sometimes we sing the song, "Lord, I need thee every hour." Well, I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I learn, the more I see, the more I do, the more I realize I need the Lord every second of every day, not just every hour. So as we conclude our services with one of these blessings, understand and remember how wonderful it is that we have these blessings. Pay attention to how rich they are. There's so much in them. Understand that we need the Lord's blessing so we best pay attention when they're prayerfully read over us at the end of our services. Pay attention to what's being said. And the benediction that we're going over this morning is a wonderful one. It is the Aaronic blessing, or the Aaronic benediction, as this is the blessing that the Lord instructed Aaron and his sons to bless the Israelites with. There's a wonderful quote by D.L. Moody when talking about this particular passage. He says, "Here's a benediction that can go all over the world and give all the time without being impoverished. Every heart may utter it. It is the speech of God. Every letter may conclude with it. Every day may begin with it. Every night may be sanctified by it. Here is blessing, keeping, shining, and uplifting upon the poor life of all heaven's glad morning. It is the Lord himself who brings this bar of music from heaven's infinite anthems." That's an awesome thought there. And one last tidbit before we dive into the first verse. One aspect that was pointed out by many theologians as I was reading on this, that I admittedly never in my life noticed, is that, and really until doing more research on this topic, is that they believe that the Trinity is actually being represented in this blessing. And it makes sense when you read it. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Verse 24, "The Lord bless you and keep you." Verse 25, "The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you." And 26, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." In this blessing, we have the Lord mentioned three times in three ways. They believe verse 24, "The Lord blessing and keeping us," would represent God the Father. Verse 25, "His face shining upon us and being gracious to us," would be God the Son. And finally, verse 26, "lifting up his countenance upon us and giving us peace," would be God the Holy Spirit. When I read that in a few different commentaries, I thought it was pretty interesting, and I figured I would just pass it on, as it really just adds to the wonder and the beauty of this blessing that we're going through today. And that's the wonderful thing when you read through God's word, just there's far more. Like, you can read through it 1,000 times, read through it your whole life, study your whole life, and you're always going to learn more. You're always going to see more in it, more beauty, more things to nourish your soul in God's word, because God's word is just wonderful, isn't it? So let's dive into this wonderful benediction. And we start off with, "The Lord bless you and keep you." So the first thing we should remember here is who this blessing was originally directed towards. It was directed towards the Israelites, of course. And when they first heard it, the first line in this benediction, it would likely have brought to mind all the ways in which the Lord had promised to bless the Israelites, bless their nation. It's funny, we often quote things when we're giving lessons or sermons or things of that nature. We often quote things that we've been reading through. in our own devotionals as teachers. In fact, it's funny, in youth group, when Christian's giving lessons, I can almost always tell where he's at in the Bible in his own devotionals by his lessons. I can predict, I'll go up to him after, I'm like, oh, you're reading, you know, Genesis right now, aren't you? And be like, yeah, how'd you know? But as the Lord would have it, the very morning that I was writing on the first line of this benediction, I happened to be in Leviticus chapter 26. In this chapter, we get to see the ways in which the Lord is going to bless Israel if they keep his commandments. Subsequently, we also see the ways in which he will curse them if they do not follow his commandments. But in regards to the blessings, there's a good chance that this is what would have been brought to mind for many of the Israelites when the first line of this benediction was recited to them. So I'll just read just a quick little tidbit of it where the Lord promises to bless them. If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last to the time of the grape harvest, and the grape harvest shall last to the time for sowing, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land securely. And then it goes on, talking more about the blessings. So it would also have likely brought to mind the way in which the Lord promised to bless Abraham's offspring, right? That is saying that they would be a great nation, that his descendants would be a blessing to the entire world. So that's what they would have been likely thinking about here, as they were, in fact, very much blessed by the Lord, weren't they? In many different ways. And then we also must acknowledge here exactly who these blessings are from. And it's, we should point out also that we are also blessed by the Lord in so many ways. So we need to keep that in mind, and we need to acknowledge who these blessings are from. They are from the Lord. That is important. And I want to take some extra time to focus here and discuss blessing, because we are, after all, going through a blessing, right? But all too often, we, as Christians, do not give credit to whom the credit is due. All too often, we take the credit ourselves and view our blessings as something that we earned or that we achieved, instead of remembering who gave us the abilities, the upbringings, the opportunities that we have to begin with. We just love taking the credit for stuff, don't we? I can remember one time in my life, there's probably plenty of times, that I took credit when I did not deserve it at all. And it was in an art class. Now, I am not artistic, right? I can't draw, I can't paint, I can't do anything. In fact, another story, another illustration for another time is a time when I got kicked out of art class. So I hadn't even taken an art class since junior high. So I'm in this college drawing class, and everyone there, including the teacher, because I told them, knew I didn't know what I was doing, and they would help me. And every time I would do a drawing, they would all find nice things to say about it, which was very kind of them, because there wasn't much nice to say about my drawings. But they would say nice things. Well, in comes the final, and we had to fill up this big paper. And on that paper, we had to do something to do with cycle. And I remember sitting there trying to think of what I'm going to do that has to do with cycle. And finally, I came up with the water cycle. So like rain. So in my drawing, there was like a cliff that went up here. There's a guy standing there with a staff. You could only see his feet. Then there was some hills, a house with the smoke that went up one way, a river that went up another way, some clouds, rain, and some mountains, right? So that was my drawing. It was horrible. It was probably my worst drawing that I had done throughout the entire semester. And I remember standing up there and just like hunched over, like, yeah, this is what I did. And everyone's like trying to come up with something nice to say, and no one had anything to say. And I was like, oh no, you know. And all of a sudden, one guy stands up. I'm like, oh no, like I didn't know what he was gonna say. He goes, no way. No way. And he walks up next to me and he points at my drawing and he goes, it spells out rain. And it did. And I didn't plan that at all. I had no idea that you could literally see the word rain in my drawing. But rest assured, I stood up there like, oh, good. Yeah, I'm glad you finally noticed that. It took you long enough, you know. I took credit. I did not deserve that credit at all. There's no way I did that on purpose. I mean, maybe subconsciously somehow. I don't think so, right? But in all seriousness, when things go our way, when we raise a loving family, when we excel in our jobs, when we teach something and it really helps the people listening, whether it's up here, in Sunday school, in our homes, wherever, we are far too quick to think to ourselves, look what I did, instead of look at what the Lord did. All too often, we are like little King Nebuchadnezzar's, who, after looking over our little kingdoms, think to ourselves, is this not great Babylon which I have built with my mighty power? Well, we know what the Lord felt about that sentiment from King Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible tells us that while the words were still in his mouth, the Lord interrupted him and reminded him of just who truly is in control, who is truly the mighty one. Then the Lord humbled him by making him go crazy and live like a beast in the field for 7 years. That mighty king was humbled. The Lord can and will humble us as well. And we must acknowledge from whom we receive these blessings and give credit to whom credit is due. It is the Lord who blesses us. We also need to stop looking in all the wrong places for our blessings. Beloved, all too often we look towards the world as if the world is going to bless us, striving for this thing or that thing or those things, as if those will truly bless us, as if the things and experiences of this world will truly satisfy us. But they won't. They will always leave you striving for more and unsatisfied. We must repent of all the places that we've looked for blessing other than the Lord. In Him and Him alone will we find true blessing and true satisfaction. It is the Lord who blesses us. And it is the Lord who keeps us, as our benediction goes on to say, the Lord bless you and keep you. Similarly to how we forget who blesses us, we often forget who keeps us. We forget who protects us, who keeps us safe. Like Israel looking to Assyria and Egypt, we look towards earthly means to protect us. We look towards our money, our friends, our family. Or if you're like me, you look to your own mental capacities, mental problem-solving abilities to protect us. I don't know about you, but I have spent far too many sleepless nights trying to just think my way through a problem or try and solve things on my own. We tend to exhaust every other avenue before we turn to the Lord, don't we? We forget that it is the Lord who keeps us. We forget verses like Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Friends, we need to have a prayer-first mentality instead of a worry-first mentality. We try to keep ourselves instead of remembering that it is the Lord who keeps us. So the Lord blesses us and keeps us. But what is true blessing? Sure, we can have lots of things. We can have safety and security. But true blessing boils down to knowing and trusting in the Lord. Having a true relationship with God. That is true blessing. And our benediction fittingly goes on to say, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. We see throughout the Old Testament the metaphor of the Lord's face shining upon his people. A couple of examples would be Psalm 80. After the psalmist is asking the Lord to protect them and deliver his people, the psalmist writes, "Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts." Oops, sorry. "Let your face shine that we may be saved." Another example would be in Psalm 44, where the psalmist says, "For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor by their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your face, for you delighted in them." Having his face shine upon his people is a sign of delight, of unmerited favor, otherwise known as grace. We should also remember that our faces and what's on them matter as well, don't they? If you watch little kids in sports, pretty much any sport, when they do something good or bad, the first thing they'll often do is look towards their father's face and see what expression is on their father's face. Just last weekend, Logan and I got to go to a father-son's camping trip. It was a super great time. And at one point, I had to go to like another little meeting, and Logan was playing a game called Gaga Ball, which most of you know what that is. And I'm watching, and it came down to just him and this other kid, and Logan made a really nice hit. He hit the ball, and it hit the kid in the leg, and Logan won, and everyone's cheering. And I go, "Nice job, Logan." And he had no idea I was there, and I saw his face just light up. His face lit up. He turns around, he sees me, got this big, proud smile on his face. It gives a child a ton of happiness when they get a hit, score a goal, make a basket, whatever it is, and they look over and they see their mother or father smiling, showing pleasure in what they just accomplished. It is, in a sense, a blessing to them. And having a close face-to-face relationship with the Lord is the best blessing that we can receive. Other blessings are nice, but they only go so far. It is a good thing to be safe and protected. It is a good thing to have the food you need and the things that you need and of that nature. It is nice to have an abundance of things in this earthly life, but to have the Lord's face shine upon you, to experience his love and grace through his son Jesus, is far and above simply having protection and things in this lifetime. It is far more than we deserve. That's the thing about grace, though, isn't it? We don't deserve it. If we deserve it, it's no longer grace, but rather something that we earned. But all we ever earned through our own actions on this life, it leads us to deserving hell. But thanks to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we don't need to get what we truly deserve. Instead, we can get grace. We get to have a true personal relationship with the Lord. And what a wonderful blessing that is. Then our benediction goes on to say, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Now, when we get to this part in the blessing, we encounter the word, at least in the ESV and the KJV version, the word countenance. And if you're like me and you're a little bit dumb, sometimes, you know, you don't know what the word countenance means, right? Right, Bill? Well, don't worry, Bill. I looked it up. Fear not. It essentially means a person's facial expression, in this context, a first person's facial expression of support. So again, we're going back to the face of God, but this time it's more of a smile. One of my commentaries said, another way this could be translated is, "May the Lord smile upon you." Have you ever had someone like a father figure or a father in your life smile at you as if to say they're pleased with you? It feels great. What a wonderful thought it is to think of the Lord smiling down upon us. And this blessing goes on to say, "and give you peace." Now, this is not just peace that means like absent of war type of peace or something like that. It's a much deeper sense of peace. Peace that can only come from the Lord. Have you ever seen another believer going through something awful, but they have such a peace about them? peace that can only come from the Lord. Maybe they're dying or going through something horrible, and you think to yourself, like, man, how are they holding it together like that? Well, that is the Holy Spirit working in their life, giving them a peace that surpasses all understanding. Maybe you've experienced that before. Maybe you're experiencing that right now, where, yeah, you're going through these hard times, and it's certainly not fun, but apart from the Lord, you would be a mess. I've had the pleasure of knowing plenty of believers who, towards the end of their lives, or maybe while going through something horrible like chemotherapy, instead of sitting around and feeling bad about themselves, they use that time to witness to those around them, to the nurses, to the doctors. It's been incredible to see, and it's incredibly humbling. They choose to glorify the Lord in their trial. And they're able to do so because of that peace of the Lord in their hearts. And maybe you're sitting here today and you realize that you're not at peace with God. You know deep down in your heart you're not there yet. Well, the fact of the matter is there's only one way to truly be at peace with the Lord, and that is through his Son, Jesus, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So if you want this peace with the Lord, I would encourage you to turn from your sins and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as Jesus died on the cross for the sins of all who would believe, taking the punishment we deserve to take for our sins, and then rose again on the third day. If that is something you would like to know more about, I would encourage you to just come talk to me after the service, talk to one of the elders here if you want to know more about how to truly be at peace with the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and just the wonderful, wonderful riches that are in it, Lord. Lord, help us to always remember who our blessings come from, Lord. Help us to walk humbly before you and look to glorify you, even in through our trials, Lord, that you would help us be at peace with you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we pray for the rest of our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.